Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for Ask the Expert North Texas. I'm Kristen Diaz.
I'm David Rankin. The restaurant business in Texas has taken a bunch of punches to the face lately. Ever since the pandemic hit 5 years ago, we saw 18% of restaurants close in North Texas alone in just that first year during COVID. Well, things recovered nicely over the last couple of years in Texas, but there could be another roadblock in the way. And that's the tariffs. On today's Ask the Expert, we're joined by Emily Williams-Knight. She is the president and CEO of the Texas Restaurant Association. She is in the KRLD Zoom room. Emily, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
So how long could it take for the food business to feel it, or is the restaurant industry feeling it already?
Gosh, it's such a good question because it's really trying to deal with uncertainty in a uncertain time. You know, I think what we're finding is that when it comes to things like equipment and packaging, which we directly often source from China, you are seeing members start to report that they're already feeling that. They're already getting letters from suppliers, from dealers with anywhere up to a 40, even 50% increase expected. And so as they think about long-term expansion, capital investment, they're starting to think about, what are my options? Because going through that process could add, you know, double the price or even a 50% increase is going to be pretty remarkable. I don't think people realize these tariffs stack on each other, in particular with China. And so it gets very expensive very quickly. So we haven't seen the consumer react yet. But I think as restaurants thinking about planning, this is coming up much, much more often.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of businesses, you know, sending out emails to their customer base or maybe posting up signs that, hey, we're going to be tacking on maybe an extra 25 cents here or you know, hey, you might want to go through this sale because we're, you know, going to have a better price right now. Enjoy it while it lasts types of thing. And it kind of comes to think, you know, as far as maneuvering around this is there a way to avoid losing your customer base if you're being transparent?
Yeah, you said the word there, Kristen, is transparency, right? I think that we have to remember that, yes, restaurants are having a hard time again because inflationary pressure is across insurance, rent, food, labor. And so they've kind of got a low margin business that's been squeezed. But we also have to be realistic that we have a consumer that has been under extraordinary inflationary pressure as well. And so those two are meeting. And so rule number one is transparency. We actually don't recommend just putting a line item of fees on a bill. I think that's really distressing to the consumer. They've said to us over and over that it's not a good experience for them. But if you have to raise your price X percent because there is no way to pass through these extended costs, you need to be upfront about it. You know, share that news with your customer, post it on your website, share that prices are going up 2%. And this is why, but not move to just sort of a random service charge. That does not seem to be well received. But I can tell you these restaurants are trying to stay open. We're seeing some really long-term restaurants close again here in North Texas because they just have run out of runway.
Yeah, and that's the issue. For a lot of people, they will go to a restaurant and see, oh, the price of my favorite dish went up. Oh, well, it's not going to stop them from going to it and enjoying that dish. They just have to basically pay the extra cost.
Right. And I think this is where service and return on investment are so key. We have been explicitly telling restaurants, if you have ever invested in anything, it needs to be your people and your customer service. Because if you're going in, David, to that restaurant and you're exchanging your hard-earned dollars and you come out having had not a great experience, the food was not good, the experience with the server was not great, you're not going back, number one, because you have too many choices. But number two, it's really hard to make that investment feel good. And I think now you can talk to consumers across North Texas and they'll tell you, hey, I went here and it was great. They'll talk about it because I feel like service is one place where we just don't have the consistency that we need to have to get that consumer to really feel like that exchange is worthwhile. That's something we have to keep working on.
I think that's a huge point there, too, is that maybe you can't do much about the tariffs, but you can do something about your branding and about your connection with your community. There's something about, you know, being in a big city here. Everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody wants to have a vibe, you know, that's going to be very Instagrammable. How big is that actually proving to be for the longevity of some of these newer restaurants to hold on and make a name for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And whether it be an influencer or additional investment in marketing, you've got to find a way to stand out. We've seen that trade-off. You've seen some of the largest brands like Chili's that went and just completely reimagined itself and became and returned in one way, right? That neighborhood grill. And they're killing it because it's a place that feels like home. Whatever it is you are, I think that's the most important thing as a restaurant is don't be all things to all people. Double down on what you're great at, what your experiences is, who's your customer. But then really, if you have anywhere to move, it's really marketing, right? It's really marketing why someone should come into your location or take food to go. And we are seeing marketing across the board at both independents and chain restaurants. That spend has increased over the last 6 months to get that, share of the customer that's out there.
You bring up the independent restaurants. How are smaller independent restaurants handling tariffs?
I think what you're going to find them do, they have much less room to move. And so whether they're looking when it comes to equipment themselves, right, at alternatives like Mexico and Canada or Korea, South Korea, for one example, they really need to do a couple of things, right? They've got to talk to their dealer, their supplier, and first say, give me options that are based in those countries first, because either there's no tariff or a very reduced tariff. Then they're going to look at, do I really need to buy this equipment? Can I buy something refurbished on, off the market that's maybe something that someone else used for a while? I have a smaller operation. Can I pick that up through a source? And then in some cases, putting off these decisions completely until we get clarity. On China specifically, we have until August, which is about 2 more months to kind of live in this uncertain world of where this is going to land officially. And so we're telling a lot of smaller restaurants, either if you can get it today and it's still a decent price, take it because it's already, hit the waters and it's here, or put that off because they don't have the ability to pay 50, 60, or 70% more for something right now.
Our Texas restaurants are dealing, of course, with supply issues, tariffs on foods. But what about also the staffing? We have a large population of migrants here in Texas, and with the immigration policy, is that affecting people at work?
Yeah, I think, we've done a number of webinars. I mean, I think one of the benefits of being a member of the Texas Restaurant Association is we try to educate people. And what I mean by that, really, Kristen, is take kind of the noise and the fear out. And there's no doubt that the policies and what we kind of digest in the news every day has not only made some consumers leery, but also made these employees leery. And so getting them to work, getting them to feel comfortable. And so we have a ton of tools and resources that we are providing, let alone the only advocating that we're doing, right, with different organizations we're part of for immigration reform. We need these workers. We need this workforce. That's not going to happen today from a policy perspective, but we have a lot of tools to help owners give the right information to their employees and hopefully make them feel more comfortable coming to work and providing a great service. We think it's probably 30% of the nation's employment are immigrants across the country in restaurants. And so they're critical to our labor force.
We're talking about jobs. We're talking about tariffs. What kind of impact will they have on employment in restaurants?
Yeah, I think what you're going to, it's, gosh, it's such a, I feel like sometimes I write articles to our members and then before I'm finished, I've got a new news alert, right? That something has changed. And so we too are living in this very uncertain time. I don't think you'll see employment start to be impacted yet. I think what you're going to see is you may see some consumer prices go up if they can't sustain that tariff. But employment in general for restaurants is actually quite healthy right now. And it could be that we've had other industries lay off across the state, and in particular North Texas, and that brings back a lot of returners. But so far, we're actually holding pretty strong on the workforce side, which is a blessing because then we can keep our doors open for sure.
Have there been any aha moments that your members have been able to share with amongst each other?
I think a couple of things. I think that there's a lot of issues on the table. One we obviously haven't talked about is the reduction in alcohol sales. What happens with the potential THC ban on beverages, although they're not really, not really ingrained yet in restaurants, they were in bars. Is the governor going to sign that? What's the long-term impact of if products between Mexico and Canada come out of that sort of USMCA provision? And so I think what they're dealing with more is this very changing consumer. They're evolving, right? They're into mocktails, not as much into hard drinking. What does that mean to your P&L? This whole farm-to-table movement, which seems to come back around, the MAHA movement. We had a lot of legislative activity on Make America Healthy Again. How does it impact restaurants? So I think what they feel is a lot coming at them. with a lot of uncertainty to follow. And I just think I don't want to go back to COVID, but it feels very much like what's tomorrow going to bring. That seems to be the space we're back in, and that's what restaurants seem to be talking about quite a bit.
Last question. Long term, what do you expect to see come out of these tariffs if they're allowed to continue? And what's the long term if they're not allowed to continue?
Yeah, I wish I was an economist or had a crystal ball. But I would say, just from my perspective, I think what you're going to see if the China tariffs remain long term, you're going to have to see people go in different routes, right? They're going to source equipment from other countries. They're going to source equipment from those that are protected, or maybe have a 10% tariff. But China's costs are so low, you're still talking about a 20 to 30% increase, even in those countries, from what they're paying. And so I think what you'll see is you'll see the cost of capital increase. I think you'll see the cost of building a new restaurant increase. You may see slowed growth and slow expansion from restaurants. And I think if the tariffs were to be sort of land in a place where we start to feel that's a new normal, that'll be baked into price and restaurants will continue. And so I think, as we've always proven, we're extraordinarily resilient. And I feel like as long as we keep lobbying and keep giving information to members, we'll get through this too. And God bless us, we're in Texas. People like to eat out. That's a great thing for us.
That's Emily Williams-Knight, the President and CEO of the Texas Restaurant Association. Emily, thank you as always.
Yeah, thank you so much.